Mr.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
We didn't have a beginning. This is my day off on tour from Tucson to come down, day and a half to unpack, repack podcasts, put a mirror under the noses of the pets, see if they're still kicking. And Chad Shank is here. Dave Rader's here. I don't know if he's going to get on a mic, but there's one near him. Chaley's here. I had no place to start. I took an edible an hour ago. I'm still waiting.
I wondered what was going on.
That's why we were waiting.
I was like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, I thought that would put me in the mood. But then you said, well, I kind of have a story that I'm a little bit ashamed of. I go, all right, let's start.
Before I can even decide whether or not I'm willing to tell the story. I'm kind of obligated to tell it, even though I'm ashamed of it. At the end of my stay in Globe, I could no longer stay at the L Ranch. The neighbors were getting weirder and weirder, and all wanted to be friends and started befriending each other, and I was the weird guy.
Well, when you showed up in Tucson saying, yeah, I lost this much weight, I go, well, yeah, everyone's going, it's all that manual labor in Globe. I go, it might be that he was living with fucking tweakers for a month.
At one point when I was there, I was like, if somebody offered me meth, I'd do it. But and that might have been the town or my personality. One of the two.
Or to get you a little overtime cleaning up grandma's house.
You don't want to be sleepless in the El Rancho, though. That's why I worked my ass off for like 10 to 12 hours a day so I could go pass out in the El Rancho and not have to do anything else.
That's why I didn't do edibles on the road, is because I don't want to wake up fucking starving at 3:30 in the morning when there's nothing open. Go ahead.
So at the end of the time, I needed to podcast with issues with Andy, and I was like, I'm just going to go to another motel and see if they'll let me use their fucking conference room or something, or rent it out or whatever. Well, they ended up renting me the room for the whole night. So I was like, fuck it, I'll take a break from the El Rancho, and went in there and podcasted. And then there was no way. I kind of lost my mind a little bit. There was no way I could go back to the El Rancho after staying at the Holiday Inn Express Suites. So, I asked him.
Yeah, there's no way to go back to the El Rancho after you slept in your car.
That is true. I think I told you I had my own sheets. I put up my own shower curtain. Like I had that place pretty well squared away. I should have just stayed there, but I kind of lost it and told him I need a weekly rate. Let me know. I'll stay here a whole week. Let me know how much it is.
The new place.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, no problem. We do that all the time. You got to talk to this lady here. So I go talk to that lady, and she was like, okay, let me talk to the other manager, and I'll get you a rate. Well, I come back, and then she gave me a fucking ridiculous-ass rate of like $657 for a week. And I'm like, that's not a weekly rate. That's just the daily rate for a week.
That's the same as cigarettes. You used to get a better deal when you bought a carton. And now a carton is 10 packs of cigarettes. Same thing. So?
So I didn't know what to do. I would have had it took me 3 motorcycle trips to move over when I decided I'm just going to stay at this room. I had to go 3 times to bring all my shit over. And I was just frustrated, and I did not want to do it. So the lady was kind of being a bitch about it. And so I invoked the killer termites, and I showed her on Twitter. I said, okay, look, this is me on Twitter. I go, see my podcast, Doug Stanhope. Here's him. And I showed her yours. It has all the things. And I said, you guys are going to get a bunch of phone calls if you fuck me over on this thing, or you're going to get Yelp reviews that you have fucking bed bugs if you don't help me out.
Whoa.
And the lady goes, but that's not true. I go, I don't fucking care. You said you give me a weekly rate. I just want a fair weekly rate. I said, give me, I just don't want you to fuck me over. That's bullshit. That's not a weekly rate. And so she came back, and the other guy, the guy higher up from her, I guess said, fuck that guy. charge him even more than that. I don't give a shit.
But you tell him.
But she, you know, she was like, so then they were all on my side because that guy was such a dick. Because she goes, I go, yeah, he doesn't answer the phones. What a dick, man. And they're like, yeah, that guy's a jerk. So what they ended up doing for me, which was very cool, and I apologized later and told them, you know, that was not something I normally would do. I was kind of temporarily insane. And but they gave me employee rates. They each have their own rate. So they would just rent the room under their employee rate for me for the thing. And it gave me a really nice weekly rate. But I did in a fit of desperation and fucking, I'm not proud of it at all, but I did that.
I did that embarrassingly drunk with when I was first on the Man Show, but it hadn't aired. And I had those homeless people that lived on my porch.
That's the Venice place.
Yeah, Andy, I'm sure, has told you a million times about
the knife
that
fight.
Well, but they were already living. Like, I had an apartment and a little office right next door to each other. And when I get the office after the apartment, like, just because it wasn't enough room to work away from my wife at the time, there's two homeless people camped out on the, you know, in the safety of the fucking porch area, hidden from street view.
It was like
and they're like, sorry, I thought, yeah, it was right? Like, I'm Jeff.
It'd be like a house without a roof in California.
It was an office, but the where you went up the stairs, there was a wall that blocked you from.
Yeah.
So they're in between my door and it's not even a porch. It's just a few stairs up, but they could sleep there.
Yeah.
They go, oh, sorry, we didn't think anyone, we thought this was vacant. I go, well, hey, your grandfathered in. You were here first. I had just got the keys. And I said, don't let people shit on my steps or whatever.
Including
no problem.
You?
But later on, when they would come over to our apartment porch for happy hour, and I tried to bring them up to an open mic at the local bar. They're like, you guys can't come in here. And I fucking went off. I am the new host of the Man Show. Are you going to tell me because my friends are homeless that they like, I'm throwing around not knowing that show is going to suck so much. But I threw a big fucking hissy fit like I'm a big star.
Yeah, they'd have thrown you out too.
No, I was a regular there except that night.
And then didn't they got in a knife fight or there was a knifing?
Yeah, that was later on. The point being, like, I just started. I've said, fuck, and we never really did pull the trigger on that. That's one of the things that I think back with the bingo. The last two mental institutions she's been in were fucking horrific. And yeah, I never pulled the trigger on, hey, yeah, flood these fucking, just flood every review for these places with, you know, your own brand of humor, which is always terrible when you try to do my brand of humor. But I always think that I should have, but what's it going to do? Like, it's just going to limit her choices when she goes to the next mental, or if she goes back to the same one. But there's people that need fucking online beatings that hurt their business.
I think in the moment I knew that it was
Palos Verdes. I couldn't even remember the name of the last mental institution she was in. Palos Verdes in fucking Tucson. What cunts. What absolute ridiculously unqualified pieces of shit and mean and cruel. Why you gotta be so mean to retarded? What are you saying?
Are we gonna have to pay for that? Is that a real song?
It's like a Weird Al.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a song parody.
Well, that I haven't written in full. Why am I shaking my head? No reason.
Well, everything just seems to happen when all of a sudden you get other shit to do. All right, I gotta fucking figure out the road. I don't have time like we used to have time to. All right, let's make someone's life miserable that deserves it. I should really be putting that time into other than writing Yelp reviews. Now I'm back on the road. I gotta get my shit together. First tour, I can see glimmers of my shit together. Last we talked was in San Francisco with Brendan Walsh, who was fucking brilliant. He's coming to Phoenix. I don't know if Phoenix is completely sold out, but like you got to come to Phoenix. It's a September 12th and 13th.
I'm looking it up. Thaddeus Russell was also on that. He was also in the green room.
Yeah, that's when I thought it was really fucked by San Francisco, but it wasn't over. Because the last night, I think I don't know if we talked about it. I tried to do a bump off of, it's very funny because I tried to do a bump off of some lady's hand. She was at the Vegas show, the one that tried to de-virginized guy or gee, as I like to call him. She was there, and so we hung out, and I, at some point, we're locked in a toilet, and she's trying to give me a bump off of her hand and of just my nose, you know, the regular, most of it spilled back out. And then she showed up at that bar the next night. She ended up opening the next two shows. That's how you network.
Yeah.
You could take a comedy class, or you could offer a bump in a fucking locked toilet in a shitty dive bar. Anyway, point being,
Phoenix second night is still available at Stand Up Live. Go to DougStandUp.com tour. And
What dates? 13, 14?
The 14th, there's still seats available. September 14th.
Fucking Brendan Walsh was amazing to watch just because now he's doing basically his prank call podcast on stage and he's doing actual prank calls and fucking with his own voice. With the voice modulator, with the neck brace and everything.
It is basically the World Record Podcast live, which is a great fucking advertisement for his World Record Podcast. It is exactly what he's doing, but it's way more produced on the podcast. But I mean, he fucking totally pulled it off.
I know. It was like watching when I watched Phil Hendry live. Yeah. It was that good. And with, you know, the ridiculousness of both Junior and fucking Brendan Walsh on this first tour. I need more of that. Chicago. Well,
that night you attempted to do a bump. Tracy and I ended up back waiting for a pizza that never showed up in Brendan's room. And he's got all these props. And I'm like, what is this? Why are you traveling with a dog shock collar? Fast forward 15 minutes, we're wearing the shock collar.
Oh, that didn't make the last podcast?
No.
Okay, good.
No. So we're there and then we're playing this game where two of us are laying down in bed looking at our feet, like where the person with the dog collar is. One person's filming, the other one is holding into the frame of the shot the remote where we're clicking through zero, which is no shock. Why no shock on a shock collar? To five, which is Jesus Christ, right? And you were clicking it, and the person with the shock collar is in the background, and they say stop, and then you hit the shock, and they have no idea what
it is. I thought you already put this out on YouTube.
No, I still haven't. We looked at it, and you know, what the fuck? What are we doing?
I know, but Jesus Christ. Walsh was scared. I look drunk in it. Of course you're drunk. You're doing it. You have to demand that at Greg Chaley, at Brendan Walsh.
That was the same night that you were just talking about. That was a pretty drunken night.
Yeah, and it was really funny because the next day at Sushi, because we didn't do merch. This was the week that you had to have the vax card to get in, and people are fucking going crazy. I heard people were fucking talking shit. Stan Hope would never do that, make you have a vax card to get in. He should cancel that gig. I'm not looking at fucking Twitter during this. But it was very funny. We went to Sushi the next night, and you weren't even there, Chaley. It was when you were working on something. Oh, you're doing another podcast. Hannigan and Tracy and I went to Sushi with Walsh, and he says, yeah, it's funny. You won't sell merch, but you'll still do a fucking bump off of a stripper's hand in a toilet, but you won't sell a Bible.
Also, I showed him the video that went out of you drinking out of the amputee's prosthetic, and he's all like, this is the guy who won't sell merch and shake a hand? He's drinking out of this guy's stump? It is a little...
I know. I know, but that's one hand and one stump, not 500 people every night. I mean, he has comorbidities. If he was toxic, he'd be dead. So the last night,
San Francisco.
Yeah, I did someone else's bump. There was lots of bumps to refuse or just go, oh, I tried. Like the first bump fell out of my nose and I went, eh.
Win some, you lose.
Probably better off that way.
Exactly. But then the last night, I did someone else's bump. The club that we were at, let's say, has a secret underground club and left it open. It's amazing how one bump of good cocaine can make you wake up feeling like you just did shitloads of cocaine because you didn't sleep, and then you had to wake up and check out of your fucking hotel at 11 a.m. You've been away. You saw the sun come up, and now you have to leave and pack all your shit that you didn't pack when you had all the time before you even started partying. And now I gotta fucking find all my shit with one eye, put it in bags, chuck it in the Suburban that Chaley's driving home, get out. And I had to check out by 11, but I didn't fly till 3. So now I'm steaming, reeking, stink lines, hangover, still drunk. And I have to sit at the fucking airport because I had to be out for, 3 hours. And so I go to the Sky Club and I just start moderately drinking. Just enough to keep a level.
Did you start at the Delta or did you go to the American Delta. Express? Okay.
Yeah.
There was a talk of maybe.
Well, Hannigan was flying at the same time I was flying. That was the most fun is we had a group text with me, Brian, Tracy, Chaley, and Walsh. So that's what kept me going. It was just
as we're driving south, Walsh is driving south, and you guys are in the airport.
Yeah, Walsh is driving separately from them, but they're both driving towards LA. We're both flying to LA, but on separate airlines. So we're just fucking with each other the whole time. And I only had a few drinks, but it was already still there. So it was just a continuum from the night before, staving off a hangover, just push it into the future. And I left the Sky Club when I almost missed my flight because I was having so much fun texting with you guys. And I go down to my gate. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's already. And your flight's delayed 35 minutes. So I'm like, I had just left half a drink up there. You know, the Sky Club, for the listener, they have a buffet of some stuff, some hummus and some sandwiches. And, they got a Delta.
Nice.
Yeah, Delta Sky Club has a
clean bathrooms, a view of the nice runway, buffet, comfortable.
Free drinks, free yes, buffet. Sir. So I, at some point, a man of color, and I only point that up because black guys, black people, not just guys, tend to point out when I'm suited up, I get a fucking vintage suit on, my socks match, my tie, everything fucking works. They notice. And I was so hungover, I go, fuck it. I'm flying in sweatpants and a hoodie. But I did have, because I didn't have my tie, I sent my tie accidentally with you because I was packing in a hurry. I didn't have the proper accoutrements. But when I saw this black guy walking in a fucking new vintage, it wasn't real vintage, but it was a plaid and he had a fucking pin on it exactly where I had my Delta pin. And I go, I have my fucking suit rolled up in this backpack, which is all I traveled with. It was an oversized stuffed backpack. I go, fuck it. I'm going to go suit up in the turlet. And I suited up without a tie, but I.
But with sweatpants?
Yeah. No. I had
you had the whole suit.
Yeah, I just didn't have I didn't have my tie, and I didn't have a white undershirt. So I turned my Shady Dell mustard colored shirt yellow. Inside out, so it wouldn't show through my sheer vintage shirt as much. Now I'm suited up. So I leave my drink and my plate of fucking leftovers behind. Go see my flight is delayed. And I go, fuck, I'm going to go finish my drink. I got time. By then, this very waspy, yuppie fucking 30s, 40s, they're extras in any movie. They are sitting beside where I used to sit with my glass and my plate of fucking.
God.
So I just said, are you guys going to finish this? All right. No. So I grabbed the half drink and I started scooping up the leftovers of hummus and scraping the hummus with the pita off the plate and eating it with my back directly to the free buffet. And they didn't. And then I go, thanks. And then I scooted behind the divider on the next row where I could see them. And then someone beside them on the other side left a bunch of leftovers. So I walk back around the divider. I go, you good with this too? And they're like, yeah. And so I started like picking the turkey out of club sandwiches that they left behind and eating it. And I'm timing fake phone calls or I just have the phone in my ear. People are leaving perfectly good food behind. I don't know how much this buffet costs, but people are leaving perfectly good food. And they never said it's free. Like, and I have a Delta pin. Like, I might work
That's
there.
That's garbage. You don't have to eat someone else's. Yeah. It is Delta.
So, and I give Walsh all the credit for just after a week of watching Walsh prank, even our own hotel. I'm like, we stay here all the time. Don't prank this fucking place. This is a gold mine. Like, this is the El Rancho if it was sweet. It's fucking, it's right next to the gig. You can, in a smoking balcony. Don't fuck this up or we're going to have to go to a Holiday Inn Express.
Private parking is the other thing, too. It's like, that's the sweetest plum because we're two blocks from the venue and we've got secure parking. That's the one thing that would hurt the most.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He was pranking the front desk of the hotel about...
From his room.
From his room. And saying that he's pretending to be a kid who can't get the TV to work.
Well, no, he was legit at first.
No, legit that he couldn't do it. And then he goes, why am I wasting this? So he ends up and he pretends that like he pulled the wire out. And then two calls, he sent me all the calls. The two calls later, he pretends to be that kid's dad. He's going, why did you tell my son to pull the cable out and take the TV off the wall?
Yeah, now it's torn through the wall. The cable went through the wall and it's pulled all the plaster out.
Then he does another one. It's like, I'm the uncle of the kid that you told to. And then I look at him, I'm like, fucking hey, this is 4 a.m. that he sent these. I go, did you? You didn't call the guy downstairs, did you? And he goes, well, yeah. And then the next night, do you remember you were wasted and you went right to at like 1 a.m. when I took you up to go to sleep?
Oh, that was a edible night, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. You went in.
No. Xanax.
Someone gave
that was the night we shocked
you. Oh, yeah. The fucking guy that... well,
Sean with the bolo ties. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, but the bolo tie guy.
Yeah. Right, we'll leave so he... That. So Doug's zonkered. I mean, I'm arm in arm with him, you know, getting him back to the hotel. And as soon as we get in, he goes, hold on. And he goes right to the front desk. And he starts apologizing for our friend who made the calls. And the guy's all, no, I'm not the guy. And he started laughing. He's like, that was another guy last night. And Doug's like, oh, you see, our friend, he's, you know, he's just bored. Well,
you have to understand, that is the hotel that I was waiting sheltered in place for when those shows got pushed from.
March of 2020.
Yeah. So, like, he knew me when I came back. He was like, we're all like, the hotel was basically empty and it was all fucked. And every time I'd come through the lobby, he's like, oh, I don't know, waiting for the governor to say something else. So, yeah, he was all smiles. They were the friendliest people.
And this time, too. So, I was glad he had a good sense of humor because Walsh can be tenacious.
Well, then he did end up hitting that guy later that night. He made hitting more calls that guy that night.
Oh, sorry.
To the new guy.
Hitting that guy.
Yeah.
The different guy.
Yeah, he called that guy too after the pizza didn't show up.
You know, if you're working that night shift like that, though, you probably don't mind. Especially if you know it's just going to be fucking around. Probably entertaining. I mean, it's funny as shit, I guess.
Yeah, this is not like a corporate hotel where they just get people coming in bitching. I was supposed to have... pull out couch. Why is there? I have diabetes medication and I need a refrigerator. It's the law. So you better call maintenance at 4 a.m. because my flight was delayed. That's not the end of it. That was just me getting to LA. Then I had another. I'll take a break. I'll tell you about LA after I piss. Oh, yeah, please hold. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/Stanhope for 10% off your first month. Life is full of stressors. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have. Your life is probably stressful. BetterHelp.com. Have you ever been so convinced that life is utterly meaningless that you want to plead your case to a professional? Nothing is more satisfying than making your therapist say, "You have a point." Go to BetterHelp.com and prove to them why they're wrong. Maybe you're not feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel the strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use a chance to unload. Unload the stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life, someone who's not going to judge you or take sides on anything. When there's shit you can't tell anyone or feel like you can't unload to your family or friends, you need to unload it, and that's what therapy can be. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain from it. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Doug Stanhope podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Stanhope for 10% off your first month. And once we break to piss, fucking monsoons come in again. And we can't go out and piss till the rain stops because we're all big fat pussies. Except for Chaley, who's fucking working on, he's cooking. He decided, knowing a monsoon was coming in, fuck him. I'll still barbecue Tracy a vegan chicken loaf, which every time he opens the hood of that cooker, it looks like a sideways Euro log that they saw chunks of fake meat off of.
Unappetizing, you mean then?
Yeah.
Yeah. It smells pretty decent.
Well, she's the only person that's going to fucking eat this, I'm assuming.
She'll eat that thing for like a week. She'll eat
leftovers, anything.
Yeah. I will eat it for days and days.
Yeah. Oh, why? Well,
but it's smoking, so can. I'm not dependent on standing over the fire. Like if I was going to do steaks or something,
all right.
It just goes.
In my defense, I just didn't have to pee. I'd pee in the rain. I don't have any problem.
Well, I by the end of this podcast, I'll be pissing in the rain. And
I'm more worried about the fact that Shaley said the wall was been urine compromised. So I don't want to add to the problem.
When you look over, you will see a huge chunk. I'm like, that wasn't there yesterday. I think it happened last night.
I like Raider's idea of just putting a glory hole in the wall that tubes out to a different spot. That's pretty good.
And a help wanted sign?
Well, and then sometimes you might go over to pee and accidentally get your dick sucked. You never know. It depends on who's here.
Actually, on the other side of that spot where he was pointing is a huge cactus. Maybe it's just being a joke.
Well, maybe that's what he's into. anyways, so, yeah, the rest of the flight, I got to L.A. The whole time, I'm just stinking so bad that I hope I'm not marked as unfit to fly. So I'm just keeping my jokes to a minimum. But I did try that prank again. I was in the L.A. Sky Club, and there was a loud talker on the phone in an otherwise quiet place. So I tried that old prank. We don't have 6x19s. And I'm like, I can supply you with 6x19s. But his call ended like as soon as I started before people could catch on. And I
remember Stanhope doing that in Sky Club for a while.
Yeah.
And
that was a big Sky Club.
And it was full. And like, it People applauded when that guy hung up his phone. He had no idea what Stanhope was doing. That was one of the funniest things I had ever seen.
And then, I guess it was the flight from San Francisco to LA for the connection where they go, can I get you another cocktail? I go, how about a 10 milligram edible? And he looked like I was lighting a cigarette. It was so, I go, come on, it's only a matter of time before that's going to be a real thing. It's legal in California, and that's what we're flying over. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. but I got home from to the Tucson airport because we're playing Tucson the next night. I got in at 9 o'clock at night going, I'm going to be just as hungover from this flight from the worst hangover tomorrow for a show. But, we got through. Chad Shank opened the show in Tucson. And
poorly.
No, it was fucking great. That was the most polite audience we probably had on the entire tour. I mean, it's just a tiny club, but that's my favorite hotel. And
I thought it was perfect. It was great.
What did it hold, like 60 people?
I think it's 52 or something when you're not there. And when you're there, it's 70.
It's a huge karaoke bar, Bumstead's. What or Bumstead's at Wonderwall or yeah. Wonderwall at Bumstead's?
Bumstead's at Wonderwall is what that was called, but I think I don't even know. Is Bumstead's the restaurant?
I don't know.
And the bar?
The place is very confusing.
But I mean, it works. They certainly have a crowd. I was the bouncer. Chad, are you the one who said the bouncer didn't even know there was a show? The bouncer
didn't know. Yeah. He was telling Raider and I that out back, I didn't even know this was going on until I showed up for my
shift. That might be just a employee turnover thing because everywhere we went on tour, everyone was now hiring.
He also said he'd only been there for 3 weeks, but he had to turn away hordes of angry regular karaoke singers.
The bar is happy. Every night they do karaoke. So this is their mecca. This is their every night.
Great sound system. And they know lights, everything fucking like to the nines, but not for comedy. It's exactly for karaoke only.
they had the reverb on. Was it you or?
Oh, it was me, and I didn't know. Christine went up there and immediately knew because she's a professional at this. She's like, what is wrong with this sound on this?
And she goes, I'll sing Patsy Cline later if you want to turn off the reverb now.
What was it, Randall? What? Were there effects on the board? Yeah.
So there was a pre-sauna set up, FireWire board, one of those 13.
Just cut to the chase, my friend.
The pre-sauna board. It's really fucking weird board. It's before the M32 or any of that stuff.
Well, clearly.
Anyways, there was effects all over it for karaoke night instead of for comedy night, which they had been set up for.
Yeah.
Generally, Chaley would have been on top of this if this wasn't. No, this is our Funhouse North show. You didn't have to worry too much about. Shit. If that was Cheyenne, Wyoming, Chaley would have been there a fucking in the morning to make sure the tables are right. And
we got there at 3:30.
I know you drove all the way from San Francisco. So anyway, I got in, but you were there early too, Chadley.
I got there just before,
right before Chaley we did. Yeah.
But no, you had to come in Friday. Did you not stay overnight?
Well, no, I just stayed there. I made two trips. I went Friday and then went home. Fuck, I stayed too many nights in a motel. I'm not spending unnecessary fucking nights in a motel when my home is 2 hours away and I'm not forced to stay there. But no, I had to go Friday for a VA appointment. They called me and scheduled it while I was in Globe and I had to reschedule it and tell them that I have to do it later. Right now I'm working and which was a weird thing to say.
I know. I was just caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. They said you're gonna come in and get started on hormone therapy because your testosterone is low. And I said, oh, all right. Yeah, I definitely want to come and do that if that's the case. Then so we drove up there. I go into the appointment and a guy just starts asking me questions and stuff and I answer him and pretty soon he goes, so what are you here for? And I go, well, you guys said I was here to start hormone therapy for the thing. He goes, oh, have you started that already? And I go, no, that's what I'm supposed to do here. And he had already kept trying to talk to me about football.
Was this the same guy that was the bouncer at the fucking Bumsters? I've only been here 3 weeks, too. He
definitely seemed like a new guy. I thought I was being punked at one point because I was like, no, they told me to come and start that. And he goes, oh, and he goes, well, your testosterone is not low, so I can't start you with that. And I go, well, they told me it was low. And he goes, well, yeah, one test showed that it was low. And he goes, but that might just be a fluke because your other test shows it pretty high. He goes, maybe you made some lifestyle changes. And I'm like, I of course, now at this point, I'm pretty pissed off because I had to drive 2 hours there. And I didn't want to. And I'm like, so you just brought me here for an appointment for nothing? You have no idea why I'm here? And he goes, well, I guess I could have just talked to you over the phone. Well, that was a nice time to find out. I said, I don't understand.
Should this. I call you from here?
So I said, it pisses me off. I said, you guys wasted my whole fucking day. I had to drive to Tucson 2 hours. And he goes, well, I don't know what to do. I got drugs. I can give you drugs. And I go, all right, what do you got? And he goes, you want Viagra? And I go,
well, yep.
I said, yeah. And I go, well, hold on. I'm used to, you know, trying to work it instead of having a guy that's just blatantly offering you drugs.
Well, what I learned on the road in the early days was if I don't do that drug, one of the comics on the bill does. So don't say no. I have to fly in the morning. I'll just say yes and then palm it off to the local opener. even if you don't need Viagra. Yep, I need that.
I asked him, I said, here's my only question. I said, when I was in the Army, I was a mechanic on a diesel mechanic. And if you started using starter fluid ether to start a vehicle, pretty soon that vehicle could only be started with starter fluid. I said, this isn't the same. I made him laugh and he was like, no, he goes, your ether starter fluid analogy does not work here. You're all right. And he said, the VA will only give you 4 a month. He says, but they're 100. He said, so break them in half. And he goes, and that'll give you 8. And I said, until I provide documentation that I need more than 8, or what is that? And he started, no, that's all you get is this. And I was like, all right, I guess. I said, well, yeah. I said, I'll take it then. It's better than fucking driving down here for no reason. I said, the VA used to give me $60 to, you know, come to an appointment for travel pay. And they quit doing that. So now I'm just out, you know.
Because of Biden.
It was before that. But
turn this podcast all political.
And then he was like, looking through a list. He was like, I got Flomax. That helps you. You have any problems urinating? He goes, that'll help you go really strongly. And I'm like, no, I don't.
You could be our new black market fucking pharmacist for
Neighbor Dave probably drugs. Needs
Flomax or
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Say yes to every drug.
All right, I'm sorry.
Dole them out to the elderly.
Chad, what can you get for constipation?
I apologize to the community for my lapse in judgment. I will next time I speak with this shady ass VA doctor who offers me whatever I
Lipitor. Hang on. I'm on a group text with Bisbee. Lipitor, anyone? All right, I have 2 hits. Yes. I need that.
What happened to the
Sky Rizzy?
No. What happened to the Zoom call meetings? I did the same thing. They had me come in and I didn't give blood or anything. I'm like, what? We had such a good relationship over the phone.
Yeah,
it worked so well. And that was just in Bisbee. I mean, imagine that everything should be over the phone or over Zoom until they actually need you in there when you're going 2 hours each way. That's 2 hours each way, Chad. It wasn't 2 hours.
That's true.
It's 2 hours each way.
And this guy shook my hand like 3 times, which I thought was weird.
See, now they're touching again.
Yes.
What the fuck?
It was an odd appointment for
Back
sure.
Back to the old
he
normal.
He kept talking to me about football. I don't. It was weird. He might have been hitting on me. You want Viagra?
That's what it's.
You like football?
This is shaping up to it. Yeah, we got to get Andy in on this to see if there were some.
Hey, VA gives condoms now. Are you a magnet by any chance?
I can measure you for a condom. Do you dress to the left or right, sir?
The last guy that was there, that was the one who had to check my balls and give me a finger in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see him again. But that was the one.
You never do.
Yeah, he didn't call back.
You turned him straight.
That guy. He was checking my balls, and he was like, "Your balls are or, no, not your balls." He said, "Your testicles are of normal size." And my immediate thought was to say, "Well, thank you, because I've had nothing to compare them to for a long time. I have no idea where I sized up."
Let's have a show
world.
Off.
Yeah. So
if your balls are real size, my balls are real size. Let's see whose balls are really normal.
Well, then this other doctor, I had to tell him on Friday about I want the varicose veins in my nuts pulled out. And he was like, why?
We can do this.
Well, that's true. Game.
We lost Shaley.
Shaley's going to be the Shaley
watches one.
I'm going to check the chicken log.
One YouTube video. Shaley will after get it wrong and then watch it again.
If Shaley has experience checking the chicken log, he can pull testicle varicose veins out.
After I use the drill to make the glory hole, we can turn to you.
Just wipe some alcohol on the drill.
Yeah, I'll sterilize it. I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. You make my glory hole.
Be honored.
Once I made him laugh the first time, I think I kept trying to make him laugh. So I told him about having to, you know, why do you want the varicose seals removed? And I said, well, because between the added heat, you know, because once you get heat, your balls move away from you. And then it also adds weight. So between the two of those, I said, when I sit on the toilet.
It sucks meat out of your dick. When your balls drop, your penis shrinks. It's like a seesaw. It's true. Yeah. What, you put your fucking balls in ice water, your dick grows an extra inch at our age.
Oh, I never thought about that, but I might.
Where else is it going to go?
What? I'll sell the Viagra and then just duct tape an ice cube to the bottom of my balls and I'll come out ahead.
Your dick gets bigger. It's not going to your brain. It's the opposite.
So I had to tell him that I have to take a pinch of a chunk of scrotum meat and tuck it in between my leg and the toilet seat in order to keep my balls out of the water in the toilet. And he did not laugh at that. I thought it was hilarious.
You said this the other night at the Bumsteads gig at the Best Western that. And I couldn't, like, I will, like, reach between my legs and just pull up a little ball skin. But you put it in, like, between the toilet seat and the lid?
No, between your thigh and the toilet seat. You just tuck it up under your thigh.
So from underneath.
So just right here in front of you. Just lift it up and put it underneath your thigh on the seat.
Oh, see, maybe
he wants to be hands-free.
Yeah, I'm at my phone.
No, I would have to tuck it between my leg and my, fuda, fat upper dick area. Like, to put it between.
So you just reach down between your legs and just pinch a hunk of it, pull it straight up, and then just shove it underneath your leg in between your leg and the toilet seat. And now it's suspended.
Yeah, okay, that seems weird. That means it's under your thigh. You're sitting on a piece of your ball sack.
A little bit, sure.
See, now I maybe I'm not a man. I'm not a big man like you. My spindly legs.
You
like
keep reaching behind you, like to reach your ball sack. Is your ball sack coming out of a vagina or in front of you?
No, between a fucking seat. You.
Why don't we take a break? Go into the main house.
Demonstrate.
Yeah.
Why? Why not?
Because there's
here?
Obviously a lot of confusion. We're in mixed company.
Yeah. Well, you're saying ladies aren't strong enough to fucking.
We don't have a toilet.
Everybody here has seen
Tracy,
our beanbags.
Tracy's a woman of a certain age. She has labia that she might be getting a hint.
We still need a seat with a hole in it. We don't have
If you had labia, you would have to pull it up under both thighs and tuck it.
I can't picture it.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know how you can't.
How the toilet seat gets involved. I would just hold it. You'd have to lift your leg and get it pinched.
It's between you lift between your legs, not outside your leg.
I know, but still, I don't know. We're men of different sizes.
Could be. Listen, I hang my toilet paper the opposite way of everybody else.
You underhand your toilet paper?
Absolutely.
What? Fucking
absolutely. No. All you little tiny people. have such luxury to hang it the other way. If I hung it that way, my elbow would knock off 400 yards of toilet paper while
well, that's how much
shit.
It takes to wipe a fat man's ass. No, so go ahead.
I have a little tiny white man's ass. Only my belly's fat.
I'm fat, but at least I have no ass.
That's why during my flood trip, I had to get rid of my belt and switch to suspenders to hold my pants up. Because the belt just wouldn't hold it.
Yeah.
No ass. It just straight slides off.
But the front pushes it all down.
Yeah.
As much as I've ever gotten thin in an AIDS-y way, it's never affected my gut. My gut is always there. Like an old, mother cat that's had a litter of nine.
I was telling Raider at breakfast yesterday, my grandmother, my mom's mother, is from Montana, and she's a full-blooded Indian, and she is from the Grovon tribe. And Jenny always would tell me, you are built like everybody on your mother's side of the family. Everybody's all like a weeble that grew legs. And I found out, I researched it, Grovon in French means wheat belly. So my family's ancestry is from the wheat belly tribe of Indians. So
one tribe wonder that you have to really Google.
They're not a large
name. As long as we've been doing crossword puzzles where they try to nail you with obscure Indian tribes,
that has not come in.
That has never come up once.
Well, if it does, it's two words. I believe it's Grosvent.
Yeah. You listening there? Will Shores?
Shorts?
Shores?
What?
New York Times.
Are you drunk?
The New York Times editor. the puzzle editor. Oh. You would know this, Tracy.
Will? Puzzle editor's name?
Will Shores?
All right. See, every time he has a problem, because he's a lawyer, every time Raider has a problem with a crossword answer, he finds out who he can sue. Who's the editor of this?
Who's behind for this?
Who else works for the editor? Who else syndicates the New York Times crossword? Yes, always a person that sues. See, you can use epithets without saying the word. One of those person that sues everybody that's from New York. It's a good lawyer.
Rhymes with news. 19 across.
Sex! Rulers of the Underpants Universe! Sex! Keep your balls off your legs and such!
Sex underwear. Don't have sweaty balls.
Was that good? I don't know.
But it was beautiful having everyone in Tucson. We had like 8 of us.
Yep.
And no Bisbee Funhouse regulars. Like, it was an actual audience, but still 10 of us. No smoking pot in the room.
Mm-hmm. Angela?
Angela, our lady at the front desk. Yeah, this is where I wrote most of the book when I had to get the fuck out of here, because there was always one person coming over that you couldn't say no to. Hey, I saved your life in the NAM. I'm only in town for a day. I'm like, all right, I'll not write. So, yeah, that's why I have Best Western ashtrays and signs all over. And I smoked in their fucking room, and every time they go, you can't smoke in the room. And I was sitting outside smoking. It must have blown in. And then one time a neighbor fucking complained about the smoke. And I just tell them I'll pay for their fucking room. And I did. So, yeah. When the fucking Hennigan killer termites fucking killed, just, hey, Hennigan, when is the hard copy coming out? Oh, I'm working on it. Yeah,
did you ask him?
The dedication will be to Angela at the Best Western for never throwing me out. But this time when we had 10 of us, everyone got a lecture.
Yes, she does. No smoking of any kind in the room.
Even if it's pot.
I like that that's what they're concerned about. And meanwhile, the carpet squishes between your toes if you walk barefoot on it. It's so fucking disgusting. Just humidity. The carpet is nasty.
I'm never barefoot.
Just switch to fucking floating floors. I came out of the shower and started to walk, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I immediately threw my towel on the floor and just stood on that. Like, I'm just going to wait here until I dry. I'm not walking off this carpet again barefoot.
I'm sorry. Someone emailed me, and even Hennigan didn't know this, said, hey, Brian Hennigan, I know she was emailing me, but I know you are his manager, so you must check this email, or otherwise it's some flunky intern. But either way, Mr. Hennigan, why is your Wikipedia page the fifth word and first adjective about you? That you're uncircumcised. Does that really matter? Does anyone really care? Go ahead. Read it, Raider, because Hennigan didn't know this existed on his Wiki. I didn't know he had a Wikipedia page. How do you have a Wikipedia page? So Raider first looked sentence, it up.
Brian Hennigan is an uncircumcised British novelist, producer, and director.
That's what you get when you have the nickname the Uncut Scotsman for 20 years.
Well, I mean, but that's not his moniker that he came up with.
Do you think any of us with Wikipedia pages wrote it ourselves? Like, I can always tell in an interview. It says you did ecstasy on stage in 2006. Like, I don't know if that's still there, but I know when the interviewer has no idea who I am, they just read the Wikipedia page. And yeah, I've done drugs on stage, including this tour. Why would one occasion? It's not that Wikipedia is all full of shit. Like it used to be in the early days, anyone could get on. All my fans would say that I was born a hermaphrodite or whatever.
What was the one? You were
a member of the ABC's The View or whatever.
No, you were supposed to be the host. You were slotted to be the host of Family Feud. I love that one. Yeah. After the one guy killed himself and then Louis Anderson.
Oh.
Yeah. That's very artful.
Yeah. But yeah, now it's just incomplete. Like, I don't read it. It's like fucking Twitter responses. If I'm fucking high and have a year and a half off because of a plague. Then I'll fight with you on Twitter. No, but not now.
I have things to do.
That'll never happen.
Why would I fucking respond to you on Twitter? If you fucking make me mad, I'll make a bid out of it and sell it. I'm not going to fuck give it away. You might have been the catalyst for it.
Yeah, I'll have the whole conversation in my head and write it down. You don't have to be a part of it.
I mean, you were there for the show. There's like a local thing that I was never able to talk about.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And it segues in with the other things I can't talk about. Yeah, the podcast. No, live, because those people aren't fucking coming to my show.
Hey, can you close your ears for a minute? Let me talk to the podcast listeners for just 1 minute.
All right.
Don't listen.
I
went to the Stanhope show the other night, and it really made me see something like an epiphany. Like, after all this time of hanging out, I forget that, you know, Stanhope, just my friend Stanhope. You know, for a while. And then you go and you see him do his new set. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's just my friend Stanhope. But that's also comedy fucking legend.
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope. Holy shit. It just blew me out of the water.
Then at breakfast the next day, you have to go, forget about what you saw last night. This is the guy who's going to yell at the waitress if there's not a Cholula. Yeah.
It was only Tabasco. And I knew it was coming. But that was my advertisement to go see Stanhope, and it's fucking sincere.
Well, that actually happened because we talked about this because he didn't have his tickets, his little free breakfast complimentary voucher things. And you're just like, no, we need to see your fucking tickets. Meanwhile, go ahead.
No, you say it.
Well, the sign outside says Bumstead's Doug Stanhope sold out. like next morning.
Like 30 feet where's your fucking from where tickets? He's sitting.
This is not exactly something I'm bragging to other comedians about, because again, it holds 60 or 70 people. But to the fucking karaoke people that think they have that fucking venue, no, I was there before they made it Bumstead's. I've been fucking at that hotel. I was there when that bar was afraid when someone came in. When it was that dive, it was still karaoke a few times a week.
It's changed.
The hotel no longer owns it.
Yes, the right. Bumstead's and that whole bar area, but they still work. It's awesome that they still work in concert, because it could easily have been like, fuck you, and so, like not give a deal or anything like that.
Whenever I went over early in the when I first got there and I got something to eat and I had a couple of drinks, and I asked the lady who I think may have been the owner, and I was like, can I borrow this glass to go and have cocktails back with my friends? And
rather than a plastic cup. Rather than the
little skinny plastic cup. And she was like, no. And I go, I'm just going to borrow it. I'll bring it back later. You know, it's like, no. And I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. And so I have another couple of drinks. I'm like, can I rent it? And then she didn't think that was funny. And I was like, can I buy it?
This is Barbara, the co-owner, who is already sweating all the seating.
And- well, before that, when we first, I should say, when we first walked in there, I sat down. She goes, are you going to be having something to drink or something to eat? 4:30
in the afternoon.
And I said, a little bit of both. And she said, okay. She goes, well, wait, hold on. And I said, okay. And she asked the other guy, she goes, what time is it? And he said, 4:30. And she goes, okay, we have a sold out show here at 6. So you got to be out of here by then. I said, okay, I will be out of here by 6.
Try your best.
No problem.
Well, he didn't ever drop that I'm on the show.
Well, I learned that from you. That's not a thing you do. And it's funner that way, because the guys at the end immediately started a conversation of like, well, who the fuck is here? Sold out show. Doug Stanhope from Bismarck. I think he's a big deal. And so it was funny to listen to the whole conversation down at the end. And I knew I could probably score a glass, but I didn't want to invoke Stanhope's name again after I'd already done it once for a hotel room. So I left with no glass. She would not even respond to me anymore. And but it was nice to see after the show, when we were all sitting outside the Shailene Tracy's room, I looked around and I saw that like 5 of us had walked out with a glass. Yep. So I was like, well, all right. Mine's at my house.
We got in trouble trying to walk back in with them at one point, though. Like, oops.
To return
there's a doorman. Yeah, there's a doorman there. And he's like, come on. I'm like, oh, shit. Sorry.
That doorman either had really bad allergies or they're going to get a new doorman pretty soon.
Phoenix, second show, there's still tickets available. After that, I don't know. I know there's Portland, I think, is all sold out. There's St. Louis. There is Hennigan is doing his usual Hennigan, where we might have dates. That's like 2 weeks from now, but we might add on to that.
Well, if it's a rock and roll show like Bumstead's,
no,
it sells out quick.
Yeah, but he's talking about get on the mailing list.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how you're going to know fucking last minute if you're in Columbus or St. Louis. We're talking about Omaha. He booked some things wrong when we're supposed to do that weird vacation. Anyway, when this comes out, Boston is, he's like, we need to push the second show in Boston.
It will already have happened by the time this comes out.
All right. Well, good.
We're talking Chicago.
Because I was going to say, you know what? I don't mind a half full audience in Boston because they're big fucking pricks. I was talking to Raider about this yesterday.
I'm checking these Chicago dates to see if there's still tickets available. Yes.
Oh, and Chicago is with
Junior Stopka, and you've got some special guests opening up the Chicago date, right?
Yes, Crip Daddy and Adam Gilbert.
Donovan's going to be on that one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
I at least the first one. I haven't talked to him. I haven't figured shit out.
Right.
Yeah, so that's September 10th and 11th. There's still some tickets available for the 10th, and there are some tickets available for the 11th as well. So get on that.
And Junior's always going to be in Chicago. Yeah. He's always going to be on the bill in Chicago.
And then we already talked about Phoenix after that with Brendan Walsh.
Yeah, we have some thank yous, but unless you have them in front of you.
I got it right here. This is someone gave us this, I believe, in San Francisco. It's a just trippy fucking.
That's cool.
It's a flask.
Flask, but it's like I'm just looking at the art going, man, he fucking put some time in it. And he gave you the Pulitzer jacket, that Lily Pulitzer.
Oh.
Was it Lucy or Lily? Yeah,
no, Lily Pulitzer. Yeah. That's the one in.
Yeah, put the jacket on there.
Oh,
it
nice.
Looks cool.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so that's Tom. Thank you very much, Tom, for that.
Very cool.
I don't postcard. I don't know.
Raider gave me a Xanax last night. Should I shout that out?
No, that didn't happen.
I found one in your amulet.
That's a controlled substance.
I hope you're saving a big, huge thank you chunk for me. I got about a million.
There's a letter here. I didn't read it, pre-read it, but they sent a Drunk Wives Matter koozie. Thank you. And the guy who gave us the Bibles from the Pima County prison, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave us Bibles that were from the prison and at Bumstead's. And I go, we're not selling Bibles. And he's like, no, I have them. I go, look, I don't have any for sale. Doug can't sign it. Look, I want to give you Bibles. Just be quiet.
From a prison.
Yeah.
All right.
Pima County.
That's good.
Represent. That's good.
I don't know if we told Chad this. I don't, or we said it on a podcast, but the one night in Denver, since we're not doing merch in Denver either, fucking, he taped Bibles underneath three different chairs. So at the end of the show, I go, hey, by the way, we're not doing merch, but three of you have lucky Bibles that I'd already signed under your chairs.
That's awesome.
That is great.
If you go to Patreon, I'll post the pictures of the guy, one of the guys that got the Bible. One guy found it early because he was just waiting. And as soon as Doug goes, if you look under your chairs, and I see a guy right up. Right. Yeah.
He was looking for gum and found God.
Right. Somebody had drugs under here.
Well, they were folding chairs, and I'm like, of course, I'm over-engineering the whole fucking thing. I got my gaff tape, and I'm like, hold on. If they sit on it, it's going to bow out. I need to put a little play in the thing. I was just, yeah, because I didn't want it to go too early, and it worked out perfect. And then, yeah, I don't know what you guys did on stage after that, you and Andy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have not been on here since I got back from Globe and to tell you guys, everybody all over, thank you so much for helping me with that fucking stay in Globe. Between everybody, I think I got like over $5,000 to help my grandparents and stay there, paid for my motel rooms. I bought fucking totes. I bought fucking tools. I bought shop vacs. I got fucking drywall. I got so much things to help put them back in their house. They got their, yesterday they had their flooring all put in. So they're moved back into their house. And I just wanted to make sure I said thanks to everybody next time I was on the podcast.
Let's, just before we quit. Raider and I were talking about how curious it is that you were in such a good mood that night and still the next morning at breakfast and still now. Yeah, that fucking manual labor for a month.
Some changes took place for sure.
It did not go unnoticed.
No, it's I'm not lazy. As lazy as I was, I couldn't wait to get home and do shit that I've been putting off for years. Because it seemed really easy. Like, I was like, I have to clean out my closet. I haven't wanted to clean out my closet in years. And I'm like, well, I don't have to shovel 3 feet of mud out of it and then decide all the shit that I need to throw away that I thought was good. I mean, it's really easy to do.
Just not being able to sell merch for this tour made me focus on actually doing comedy and not hating it because I have to fucking do merch. Because doing merch... I fucking love to meet you guys, but I'm at a deficit of comedy after a fucking year and a half of, you know, stuck alone. Yeah, not meeting you is making me a better comic.
And by the way, we had plenty of meeting going on after the shows when we found a bar and we just found people there that ended up.
Yeah, like, but it was five people in a line that lasts longer than my set. And fucking watch everyone try to figure out their cameras. And
even if you're drunk and it seems like a good idea in the start of that line, I could only imagine how horrible by the middle of that line you would be like, why the fuck am I doing this?
I got a good bit about that that I didn't even relate to the merch booth. But yeah, I'm really excited to have. Like more material than that needs to be worked out. But that's the fun. And I say that on stage. I would rather, if I was a customer, a fan of comedy, I'd much rather watch the, oh, I'm pulling fucking rabbits out of my ass set than I would, oh, this is my last run before I film it for a special where it's just all repeat. Okay,
Chad had a really good point too. There's an online store.
Absolutely. I didn't put that into the right spot, Tracy, but you're right. Yeah, you can still get merch. I mean, yeah. So why?
It's like, why?
Yeah. Can, Doug, before you leave, will you sign like 10 Bibles we can put on sale on the store?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Because I've got that bag full of them.
Nice.
And a couple of from the jail. Nice. It turns out. I do want to say thank you to, you met this guy. He was the artist who did this poster for the Oriental Theater Show in Denver. Mm-hmm. He dropped him off. Daniel, he came backstage and you met him, right?
Yeah.
Said that is you. Fucking stunning. Yeah, Doug right does there. That is
No, no. I remember getting the. I thought we got those here. We got those on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Denver.
Denver. He went. We ended up finding
him. Didn't we get some
back
here before we left? Yeah. No, I fucking love the poster.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
He sent five.
Danny Argotte, Argote. So
nice.
And I'll post that on Patreon as well. If you want to, get more extra stuff, just go to patreon.com/danhopepodcast, and we're going to post some extra stuff from the tour on that.
I still have more thank yous.
Oh, go ahead.
Still going. I mean, Hoot Looney April dropped me off a shirt when she was here from Harley Davidson in Eugene, Oregon, when she went to visit Andy, and a bunch of Harley News. Thank you.
Oh, April. Hoot Looney, I don't know whatever happened to you with that Missoula gig, but eventually we'll get to that story. It's a fucking small story, but it's a private jet.
She was our operative. She helped us out on that one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. We still don't know who's to blame.
For a lot of stuff.
And
April.
Like I was saying earlier, you know what? I'd love to fucking Palos Verdes and a million other people that we couldn't put the killer termites on. You know, that was a gig that didn't happen in Missoula. It wasn't our fault. They tried to make it sound like it was our fault. We don't know who's to blame, and it's not a time to be finding fucking the guilty party. It's time to move forward. I keep writing this goddamn act and going out and having goddamn fun on the road because we had a lot of fun audiences and a lot of fun people.
It's been fun to watch you, you know, just the online and stuff, even because I knew right away, like, Sanova looks like he's having fun, which means everybody is having fucking fun. So that was cool. I don't know if I told you guys, like, Clint Thulu on Twitter sent me a PlayStation 5.
Oh, you got it.
That I got it hooked up the other day, and I've already streamed on Twitch a couple of times with it. Thank you very much to Clint.
To find his Twitch, just go to Twitter at HDFatty and the pinned.
So, and then there's one more. I'll just do one more, and there's probably a bunch more.
No, go, fuck it.
So while I'm in Globe, I get a message on Instagram. I could probably read it, but I'll summarize it. The guy says, "I've been listening on the podcast for a long time," and he said, "And I've heard you're going elk hunting soon." And
he
said, "I'm the regional dude for the Rocky Mountain area for Sitka gear, hunting gear."
Oh wow!
And he said, "I want to outfit you with solid gear for your hunt. Here's my phone number. Call me." And so of course immediately called him. And it was funny because he answered the phone and he said, "There's only one phone number that I would answer from Sierra Vista, Arizona." He said, "This must be Chad Shank." And I said, "It is." I said, "I can't believe this." He said, "Are you familiar with Sitka gear?" And I said, "I'm familiar with it in that I know that Joe Rogan wears it hunting and promotes it. And that it's not anything I could ever afford because it's the most top of the line hunting gear there is." And he said, "Well," he goes, "you're right." He said, "It is top of the line." And he said, "I want to set you up with it." He sent me like $2,000 worth of hunting gear, pants, shirts, jackets. This shit is scientific clothing.
Do the pants come with a belt that will hold them up over your big fat gut?
I'm going to have to throw the suspenders on him for certain because he sent me a 40 because that's what I told him to send me. And it turns out that I can fit my 38s now and almost my 36s. So I'm going to have to suspender them, but that's even more comfortable. But these are like literally like scientific clothing that will wick your sweat away from you, but it won't let your scent penetrate the clothing. For hunting, like it's
Maybe we can get Doug a suit
so he can fly. A flying suit.
No, so he can sit in the car next to me. Jesus Christ! Fuck the pilot. I spend more time.
I know. Encore for the donkey, I wrote about how he wouldn't book Junior in the summer because he doesn't believe in deodorant, and I had the nervous sweats. I smelled way worse than Junior this entire tour. And showering doesn't take that away if you don't shower.
Junior left his coat. I'm like, hey, Junior, you're getting ready to get in the Uber. Your coat? I know. You can have it. I'm like, I'm not fucking keeping this thing.
Well, you can have it? Like a souvenir?
No one wants this.
Yeah, he just found, because we were the first night in Flagstaff, we're freezing our balls off. It was 57 degrees for a high in Arizona in August. So we went to this fucking thrift store to buy anything. And Junior's a huge fucking monster of a Peter Boyle, young Frankenstein man.
Size. Yeah.
And so he
Junior
found
Junior reminds me of the Indian guy in
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
So he bought it there just to warm up because that's the only thing you'd find was a sport coat in his size. Like all the hoodies that we bought. God damn it, I was going somewhere and I forget.
The smell of his coat.
Oh, the smell of me. I beat him out badly.
I'd say a tie at best.
When we were specifically in
And I shared a room with you. I shared a room with you, but I would walk by Junior and go, whoa. And I'm like, all right, that coat's not. And I kept it because I want to make him wear it.
Oh, that's where I was going. Brendan Walsh showed up with a roast battle with Jeff Ross. What were those old school coats called? It's a
tavern jacket.
Okay. It's like a baseball jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
It's shiny.
Like a silk.
He's like, you guys like my jacket? Yeah. It's like in the 80s, shiny baseball jacket with snaps, and it's the shiny polyester.
Comedy Central premium, like they gave it to people on the show or something like that.
Yeah, but in 1980,
Jeff Ross had a roast battle
vinyl,
in 1980?
No, I'm saying vinyl's coming back, so are those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was all but acid wash jeans. It's just that. So when that still showed up after Walsh was off the tour, I'm like, did he just wear that as a goof and just left it with us? So I texted him when I confirmed he's coming to Phoenix. Do you want this back? Was that an accident you left here? Because, like, who would wear that jacket? I had a family billiards jacket like that in 1989. And I go, it's one of those things. You look back, I can't believe I wore that. So I didn't know if it was, no, he wants it back. So
he does?
Yeah.
He left it.
He goes, no, I'll sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh, we should sell it on eBay. Yeah. Fuck him.
Oh, that's funny.
He left it balled up at our door on the day we were leaving. I walked out the door and almost tripped over it. It was that in our ice bucket. So, I mean, he left it for us. Now he's taking it back? No, we're selling it.
We should put it on eBay and then have the and then do a Twitter poll who gets the money. And then have it end on the 12th,
but one or of the
whatever
options.
The last yes. night of fucking. I'm sorry, I don't know my dates. I know my next date. That's all I can look at.
We'll do it on the end of the Phoenix date, which would be September 14th.
One of the options on the Twitter poll should be have the money go to Todd Berry.
No,
I understand why, but yeah,
yeah, that's their beef. My beef with him being at Cheap Cuts is different.
I didn't know you had a beef.
He's really cheap. I would never give him any money.
We could find some interesting choices.
Interesting.
Bisbee Animal Shelter. That's one of them. Chad's Twitch stream. That's another one. Everything except Brendan Walsh.
I have my El Rancho Bible and room key.
And I thought you were going to say T-shirt, like they sold T-shirts with the guy fucking jacking up speed into his veins.
I thought it was a good Bible because in the back of it, somebody that stayed there at one point took the time to like refute things and bullet statements. And the Bible is the best-selling fiction book of all time. And then it just like starts refuting facts in the Bible. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a nice Bible.
I get those every once in a while.
I should...
Let's get the fuck out of here because we're just going to keep this conversation going all night. Thank you guys, everyone. I'll see you on the road. I'll see what up. You can probably figure out what bar I'm going to be in your town, but I'm not out shaking hands until it's allowed. Take us out of here, Bingo.
Okay, bye-bye now.